well as they try to step in.
Caucasus, I think. Wasn't it? The Caucasus?
As in, in Russia, for sure.
Yeah.
There were a number of other Canadian stories happening in the last couple of weeks that we also haven't necessarily spoken too much about.
Mm-hmm.
There, in Milton, there was a story of a community hall where Pride Parade has gone missing at least twice. Somebody thought maybe it was just the wind.
A Pride Parade went missing.
So Pride flag.
Okay.
Pride flag went missing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it may have been the wind, but locals think that perhaps it's not quite that gusty over in Milton that Pride flags are constantly billowing off the pole.
Really. Yeah.
So I believe they're looking into it in more detail. There is a number of things happening, but I have been keeping an eye on Sudbury. Police have arrested a 59-year-old man for defacing the Pride crosswalk. I think we mentioned the Sudbury story closer to when it happened. The Sudbury story is resolved. But I'm thinking about
Calgary. I have real
mixed
feelings about crosswalks, though.
I know, but don't deface it. I mean, come on now.
But generally speaking,
and a 59-year-old man should know better.
Well, yeah, for sure. But in most places, it's considered an act of disrespect to step on a flag, and then we paint it on the ground so people have to walk on it. Like, and then it's just on the ground in the middle of an intersection. It's just begging to be...
I don't think it's the best gay idea we've had.
No.
As the gays, we're willing to let that one go.
Yeah, that was not... The first one was inspired, and then after that, people should have looked at that and been like, there's some logistical issues with this. Maybe we should stop doing this, but whatever.
So in Calgary, there have been ongoing disputes
mm-hmm.
with a quite anti, at least anti-drag
okay.
street preacher by the name of Derek Reamer.
Okay.
Now, in March to April, Derek Reamer was out on bail for previously... also having done something quite similar. And he went to multiple Reading with Royalty events at the Calgary Public Libraries.
Okay.
These are where drag queens, not dressed for the Friday night club, you know, dressed as Little Bo Peep or, you know, in a gown and outfit, reading children's stories. Now, Derek Reamer was not a fan. Most people who aren't a fan of drag story time just wouldn't go to a drag story time.
Mm-hmm.
He went, despite a bail condition saying that he should not.
Oh.
He went and spoke to the manager, recorded it, released the conversation on Facebook, mm-hmm. released the details of how to contact the manager and the place of work, also online. That manager, I believe, ended up locking up their social media and laying low for a while with the ensuing fallout from that. But the story is three separate occasions and three separate batches of charges were laid against the Calgary street preacher,
mm-hmm.
Reamer. And a judge has recently concluded that he has now been found guilty of breaching four counts of breaching his bail conditions.
Mm.
Essentially, when a court tells you not to do something, doing it four times and making a video of it, not the smartest tool in the shed.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to be a shock, harassment.
Yes, well...
Yeah.
It's... I strongly believe in the right to protest and the right to free speech, even if the thing you want to say is something that I hate.
Why don't we have a right to mind your own damn business?
Well,
like, I mean, your loud opinions
to
yourself.
If you're not willing to defend speech that you deplore, then you're not really defending free speech. That whole thing. Like, I agree with that. But a trespassing order is a trespassing order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and as much as I strongly believe in the right to free speech and protest, I also agree with the restriction that you at least have to stand on the other side of the street when you do so. Like... just because you have the right to protest doesn't mean you have to be standing in the personal bathroom of somebody's house that you don't like and yelling at them. Like, you know, there is such a thing as respective boundaries. You can disagree with somebody and not be in their face about it. Like, mm-hmm. just stand back 20 meters.
I don't know if this particular hate preacher in Calgary is going to take that approach.
Well, no.
The CBC did a bit of digging on him. They found that he has a 12-year history of violent crimes across multiple provinces. He's been convicted of causing suffering to a dog. He was given a probation sentence. He faces sentences in Winnipeg. He was found guilty of assault causing bodily harm. Not a fun guy. And certainly not somebody that I would listen to yelling at me on the street in Calgary.
No. I mean, there was that famous American politician who was so deplorable they named a body fluid after him.
I think you mean Rick Santorum.
Yeah, Santorum, yeah. And as much as Rick Santorum is... he was pretty deplorable. He said some pretty awful things. Even when he was kind of still politically active and politically relevant, a lot of people said, yeah, but he's over there and you can just ignore him. And that was kind of my feeling at the time. Like, he has the right to his opinion. And he's standing over there. He's not bothering anyone. He's in his own little pocket. Just don't read the kind of news source that would quote him. And then there you go.
The challenge with that is if there's five people in the room and only one person is saying that the sky is green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, obviously you can look up yourself and see the sky is not green.
Yeah.
But if the only voice in the room is saying the sky is green, then maybe the sky is green.
But that was not the he. Ooh, no.
Well,
I know what you're saying, but there were hundreds of people who were like, "Whoa, you're weird. Shut up."
Yeah.
And I think this is what's going on here as well. This fella in Calgary. I think there's plenty of people saying you're weird, shut up. I think there's plenty of counter-voicing happening.
What I would like to stress to our community of listeners is if you have a bail condition...
Well, yeah.
...saying that you shouldn't go and trespass and harass people...
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my controversial take of the week.
And, I mean, you can do... Oh, what's the world, the word for it? Compliance, radical...
Think inside your head?
No, radical compliance, radical non-compliance. That's the one. Where, or there's somebody out there yelling at the radio who knows what I'm trying to say. But, like, you comply, but you do it in a way that makes
malicious
you...
Malicious compliance.
That's the one, malicious compliance. So if you have a 100-meter restriction, you go to 100...
And one.
100 meters and 1 millimeter, and you stand right there, and then you just stare at them, and you say the things you want to say. But you're still beyond the 100 meters.
Mm-hmm.
You're still over there. You're not going, touching people.
You're not going into the event. Yeah. You're not causing disruptions. You're not accusing people of being groomers, which has led to multiple people being taken to court for defamation.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that, thankfully, the courts... are saying, look, guys, the law is the law.
Yeah.
You're being a dick. You broke the law. Here are the consequences. I just hope that collectively we can dial it back a little bit and not breach our bail conditions.
Well, yes.
Yeah, that seems to be where I'm at. All right, we're moving now to some Biff Naked. Biff Naked was in the woods. We're not going to play Lesbians in the Forest, although I love Lesbians in the Forest.
Because it's such a, like... It's very imagery rich.
Yeah. I love Lesbians in the Forest. Great track. In Pride in the Woods in West Nipissing, Ontario, Biff Naked was a singer for the Pride in the Woods event. Really kind of promoting her new album.
Mm-hmm.
We will be also promoting her new album. We're not paid to. We just think it's a good track. And I mean, if she wants to pay us, I'm open to bribes.
I won't say no. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But this is Champion by Biff Naked, and we will be back just after this.
The rock and roll
are
dying. The future was ours, we were
welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And let's start off with mpox.
Oh yes.
So in the last couple of weeks, the World Health Organization Director General has declared mpox, formerly known as monkeypox, a outbreak of public health emergency. Oh, sorry, mpox outbreak is a public health emergency of international concern. Yep. I was like, my grammar is not grammaring right now. Mm-hmm. But yes, mpox is now a public health emergency of international concern. In particular, did you know that there are really two types of mpox?
Yeah, there's the really horrible one, and then there's the extremely itchy but not so horrible one.
Yeah, you've pretty much, I don't know if extremely itchy is how that
I have the dreaded lurgia. Clearly, I am simplifying my medical terminology today.
12 seasons of House have really been wasted on you, I think. All right.
Actually, ironically, Hugh Lowry is English, and he probably would have used the term the dreaded lurgy in his daily life, it never showed up on the show.
There are two types of mpox, essentially. Clade, CLADE-1, and clade 2.
Yes. Clade is like a fancy biological term for like family.
Yeah, yeah. Basically. So mpox family 1, mpox family 2.
Yeah.
And then clade 2 has an A and a B. Thankfully, the really dodgy mpox is clade 1.
Okay.
That's the one that's been an outbreak in, I want to say, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Mm. Yeah, it's across the continent of Africa, I think, in particular, right now. The African Center for Disease Control and Prevention also issued a public health emergency declaration just before the World Health Organization, sort of one after the other. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, as of today, day of recording, according to Public Health Canada's website, there are no cases of the more dangerous form of mpox. So you mentioned the two families.
Yeah.
Mpox clade 1 is the more dangerous one. That one, no cases currently in Canada. Now, I think Swedish authorities had picked it up in Europe. Well, in Sweden, obviously. And I know that Europe as a whole is looking at it. Not to say we are out of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So far this year, to date, January to, I think the numbers we have here is the 12th of August, 164 cases of mpox, the slightly less dodgy version.
Yeah. The one that doesn't have a risk of making you go blind.
Or death.
Or death?
I'm pretty, yeah, like yeah, people are dying of mpox.
Oh, I thought it, wasn't smallpox, chickenpox, cowpox. There's one of the poxes that had a chance of blindness or deafness, but not death.
Nobody's died in Canada of it. And there is a vaccine, and it is available. Yeah. In fact, during the Pride Parade in Ottawa, there were vaccine clinics, like pop-up vaccine clinics for mpox. Now, for those who are wondering, mpox, it's rash or lesions, fevers, exhaustion, swelling, lymph nodes, headaches, muscle pain, joint pain, chills,
weeping, and back pain. Yeah.
Exactly. And the ache, I think, is really where it's
is
at.
Is it ache or egg?
Yes.
Well, there's a... Okay.
So the way mpox can spread is through lesions of scabs. So don't be licking people's scabs. Mm. Blood or body fluids. Mm-hmm. Stay away. If someone's got the mpox, stay away from body fluids.
And it's not like the flu. Like during that period between when you contract it and when the symptoms show up, there's like usually a 1 to 3 day period for a lot of diseases where you have the disease and you're infectious, but you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is done through contact, through active lesions, if you can't tell somebody has it, but they have it, they're probably not infectious.
Well, the other thing is, the Public Health Canada says that don't go sharing your razors and your toothbrushes or your adult funtime toys.
Okay.
They didn't call them that. I'm calling them that. Adult funtime toys.
Yes.
Now, they do say potentially respiratory droplets.
Oh.
but really very, very likely limited exposure. But if you're macking out on someone,
cough straight into your mouth.
If you're tongue deep with their tonsils, ill-advised. Mm-hmm. Ill-advised. So really, if you know you or someone you know who love has Mpox, don't be trading your toothbrushes. Don't be licking their scabs.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to make out for a little bit. You know, pretty reasonable stuff. A lot like the advice you'd give for many other sexually transmitted diseases and
bloodborne infections. Or skin contact diseases, really. So exactly. Just things like if you're going to care for somebody who has these diseases, make sure you wear gloves and remove the gloves after you care for them. It does feel very, like, germophobic and distant, and I don't want to touch you. And it may seem that way, but it's actually for the benefit of everyone if you just make sure that you avoid skin-to-skin contact and wash your hands thoroughly after.
Well, Public Health Canada states that the risk to people in Canada on the whole is low.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are certain higher risk groups, and that includes the gays, mainly because it's one of those things where once it breaks into a close contact group, it spreads. And the gays are a close contact group, sometimes very close, with a lot of contact in a group.
I mean, I guess the Netherlands would also be under threat.
Yeah.
Because, like, issues. You know the tradition of, like, kissing on the cheek? The whole, like, it's stereotypically French. You kiss somebody on the cheek.
I thought COVID would have put an end to that, to be honest. Well, I thought, you know.
In the Netherlands, they do it three times. You go right, left, right. Yeah. It's a triple kiss. But you also don't actually make... Well, no. Italians, you do it twice, but you don't actually make contact. You go like, mwah, like you miss their face and you kind of like... But anyway, yeah, it's a thing. But yeah, if somebody has... an active case of any contact infectious disease, don't kiss them on the cheek.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you're a very friendly Dutchman.
Just channel your COVID trauma and wave. We just want to make sure we don't lose track of too much time here. We have been keeping an eye on Australia. The will they, won't they, how many and who of the census. Now, the...
I thought we were going to talk about breakdancing.
No. Okay. No. Phil the Wizard is just the king, so...
There's absolutely nothing happening in Australia other than breakdancing right now. And you can't convince me otherwise.
Well, Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister of Australia, has U-turned and flip-flopped and zigzagged on the question of should they question... If someone is queer in the Australian census.
Oh, yeah, and I've heard people say it's homophobic if they don't do it. And you have other people saying, I don't want the government to know my sexual identity. Like,
but also the availability of services. Now, the question exists in Canada. Yeah. It got trialed in the US.
Yep.
It's really interesting data. It tells us a lot about the makeup of the communities we live in.
Mm-hmm.
They will be asking sexual orientation.
Yes.
But they will not be asking gender identity.
Oh!
Now, they believe that that is a very complicated question.
Yeah.
In all fairness, I feel like, are you a man? Do you identify as male, female, blah, blah, blah? The question is for you. You know, you don't have to guess what somebody else's identity is. You just need to know your identity.
And in Canada, we just do male, female, other.
No, I think the census has more options.
Does it?
I believe so.
I can understand, like, are you familiar with the term kludging?
No.
Okay.
I will quickly note, before we lose track of this story, that there is a petition to ban the Australian Prime Minister potentially also breakdancing, but specifically the Victoria Mardi Gras.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So kludging.
Kludging is when you do something that gets you the result you want, but not through the method that you should be using. It's kind of a software term for, like, you kind of make something up and it gets you there, but that's not how you're supposed to use, I don't know, the Python programming language. You do this other thing that's close enough. Because a while ago they were asking about trans identities on the census. And instead of actually asking for the trans identity, Stats Canada sort of kludged a way around it by asking, what is your birth sex? And then what is your gender identity? And anytime you don't match up, trans umbrella. So it was a nice way around that, because you have people who identify into the trans umbrella, but, you know, they haven't really changed their ID yet. They haven't started living the other life. They don't, like, wear the clothes. So it's a good way of getting the same information, but it's also sort of, you want to get away from questionnaire fatigue, because if you ask 100 questions, people are going to drop off. So how can you get as much information as you can from the fewest number of questions? So instead of asking, you know, what is your birth sex? What is your gender identity? And a third question, are you trans? You can sort of drop that third question and save off on the fatigue. And there's so many questions on the census, by the way, when you're like, why are they asking this? This is weird. It's because if you take question 67 and 68, it implies seven other things. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that going on. So there was an attempt in Canada to do that, to actually ask just two questions, gender identity, birth sex. And you could also throw in something about sexual orientation. And with those three questions, you get an entire rainbow of possibilities sort of splooging out in all directions, because you can just combine them and get a lot of information out of that. And it's a little bit less intrusive than asking 20 questions. You just ask three questions and do guesswork. And you'll have people who say, you know, bisexual, omnisexual, pansexual, they're not quite the same. But as far as the census is concerned, close enough. It's in the same, clade.
And the question is, you know, well, those are the questions, but the purpose of the questions is related to things that the government are going to want to know.
Yes.
Taxpayers, education, healthcare.
But it's not just that. You also get into the cross-listing. So things like, people who answered yes to being LGBT and also experienced a crime this year.
Mm-hmm.
So things that are like, you know, question number 5 and question number 79, you can cross-list them and say, well, like, how many people who are LGBT live below the poverty line? How many people who are LGBT live with someone they're not married to and they're not dating? So basically people who have roommates.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were just roommates.
That usually implies they're below the poverty line. And they, I mean, in the modern era, you know, being able to live on your own is really difficult. So you can get a lot.
Nowadays, you just get Gen Z.
You get a lot of information by cross-listing this question and that question, and then you get something out of it. So it's not just about how many people identify as LGBT. It's how many people are LGBT and are in debt due to a health issue. How many people are LGBT and can't drive? You know, you can get a lot of information by cross-listing these questions. So it's not just the question on its own. It's how does it fit into the greater census? And that is really what a well-written census is all about, is getting that detailed information so that service providers, and that includes the hospitals, the police, the fire department, I don't know how, but they could probably find a way to use the census, to better deploy services in the community. That's one of the major purposes of the census. And having that ability to cross-list is really important.
Well, the argument being made in Australia is we count, so count us. That seems to really be the crux of the issue, and the Albanese government seems to have...
Being counted for the sake of being counted is a waste of taxpayer money. Being counted because it's useful information for the local ambulance, that is very critical. Like,
we have run out of time to discuss the ways of the census. We are playing, actually, earlier I mentioned Lesbians
Honestly,
in the Forest.
I have a strong feeling.
You're stronger than me. We mentioned Lesbians in the Forest. I think that's actually a Carole Pope track, not This Naked.
Yeah.
Speaking of Carole Pope,
This
is a new track, Play Fisty For Me. It composed with Ray Spoon. Great, like a Canadian... duo here. Play Fisty For Me, Carole Pope with Ray Spoon. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Pride Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Every day, PFLAG Canada volunteers are contacted by frightened kids and by angry, fearful, or ashamed parents. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Open.